What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and thank you so much for tuning into this episode and spending some time with me today. Today, I want to talk about friendships and navigating friendships in your 20s, which I'm 23, so I'm very much living that experience right now, and also navigating friendships through a healing journey, a recovery journey, or just as you're going through a lot of personal growth and maybe some mental health struggles that can definitely affect friendships. So I kind of just want to talk about that today and dive into like my personal experience with navigating friendships, how my friendships have changed over the last few years, going through university and going through college, and how my friendships have changed, and kind of just talk about like five tips or lessons I've learned on how I feel like I have gained the confidence in knowing who my true friends are and how to identify who I want to spend my time with and who are my true friends. So without further ado, let's get into this episode. But first, I want to set kind of a background of myself. If this is your first time listening to my podcast, I'll share a little bit about my story and my journey and just who I am and how I have shown up in friendships in the past. So point blank, I'm a people pleaser, and that's something I'm very much working on now as an adult. And I have been in recovery from an eating disorder since 2021. So that's been the last 3 years of my life, just really figuring out how to heal my relationship with food, with movement, with my body, and get to a place where I'm happy and content and not living in a state of restriction or stress. So that has been kind of what I've been going through the last few years. And definitely friendships have changed. My friendships have ebbed and flowed a lot over the last few years. But I can confidently say now that I feel like I'm at a place where I know who my friends are, and I know what to expect from certain relationships and friendships, and I know where I stand. And that definitely was not the case my whole life. Earlier on in middle school and high school, I kind of was always that just like go with the flow friend. I never really had an opinion on anything. I never wanted to like ruffle anyone's plans or make anyone feel like annoyed by me. I had this very deep fear, and it's something I'm still working on, of not being liked and not being accepted and not being someone that someone would want to be around. So I always tried my best to just say yes and go with whatever was going on. And that led to me not really knowing how to make really, really strong friendships, because I never said an opinion. I never really voiced how I felt. I apologized all the time. And that was something my friends would always call me out on. They'd be like, stop apologizing. I would just say sorry before maybe saying something remotely of my opinion or something that remotely didn't agree with them. I would just apologize profusely, which is, again, still something I'm working on, but I'm so much more aware of it now. And that is not a strong foundation to make a friendship. If you are constantly apologizing for who you are and your opinions and your perspectives and your values, and you feel like you have to apologize to be in that friendship, then that's not the right friendship for you. And at the time, I didn't know that it wasn't the right friendship. I didn't know that I was doing anything not helpful for myself. It was just the way I was, and no one had ever told me to be otherwise, except those friends that told me to stop apologizing. But then I kind of internalized that, and the people pleaser in me was like, oh no, they're mad at me, they're annoyed at me. they don't like me anymore. And then that would just make me want to like quiet my own perspectives and my own voice even more so that they would like me again. I have had a really rocky relationship with myself. I've had a really rocky relationship with friends, but I feel like in the last few years of my healing and my recovery from my eating disorder, I have not only regained weight and strength in my body, I have gained so much more love and compassion for myself, and I have gained so much meaning and value in the friendships I have. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today. I hope that helped just like set the scene of like the type of friend I have been. And that wasn't too long ago. It was within the last 10 years. It just goes to show that a lot can change, but also it goes to show that you have to be patient with yourself. If you are struggling with certain habits and struggling with certain mindsets, be patient and compassionate with yourself as you're healing and working on reframing things. It's not going to happen overnight, but know that you are so deserving of true, true friendships and ones where you feel seen, you feel heard, and you don't feel like you have to apologize for being yourself, because that's not the way a true friendship should be. So to get into my 5 tips/lessons that I've learned over the past 23 years of navigating friendships, and then the last 3 and a bit years of navigating friendships in recovery, my first tip is to remind yourself that you are not on this planet to please others. You're not on this planet to be liked by everyone around you. It's impossible to be liked by everyone. There are billions of people in this world. It is quite literally impossible to be liked by every single one of them. And there are going to be people who don't like you and they disagree with you. And maybe they have a reason and maybe they don't have a reason at all. They just don't like you. They just don't vibe with you. They just don't like your energy. And that's something to really just accept. It's something completely out of your control. Kind of speaking about my episode last week about learning to let go of the things you can't control, that's something I definitely still struggle with. And it very much applies to friendships as well. Learn to let go of the people who don't match your energy and don't like you. And it's not your job to try to change their opinion of you and try to make them like you. That's not your job. Your job is to then be like, okay, they don't like me. That's okay. I'm not supposed to be liked by every single person. They're not meant to be my friend, and that's okay. But there are other people out here in this world that will match my energy and will enjoy my presence. And those are the people I should be spending my energy on, trying to build the relationships with. So that is just a big overarching thing I feel like I've had to really, really learn the last few years, is just that I'm not here to please others. I'm not here to be liked by everyone else. Everyone is not supposed to be my friend. And while rationally, like, of course, I didn't think I was supposed to be friends with the entire world, but it just still to this day is hard for me to accept that some people just don't like me and they aren't going to vibe with me. They aren't going to like what I have to say, or they'll make fun of me, or they'll think I'm cringy or something negative, and that it's just completely out of my control. My people-pleasing brain, my anxious brain just always wants to grip hold of that and try to reverse it and revert it to something more positive. But again, just accepting that it's completely out of your control has been bringing me so much more peace, and it has enabled me to actually have the energy now to pour into the relationships that are worth pouring into, where the person hasn't already established that they don't like me and they don't enjoy my energy, and they want to build a relationship just as much as I do. And so I found that the more you lean into accepting that you're not going to be liked by everyone, and sometimes there's going to be no reason that people don't like you, the more freedom you have to really pour into the relationships that you do want to build, and the more time you'll have to seek and meet new people and develop new friendships that maybe you wouldn't have had the energy otherwise, because you were spending so much time and energy trying to change someone else's mind about you. So my tip number 2 is definitely regarding my healing journey the past few years, and this point is for anyone else maybe in their own healing journey or in their own recovery journey from an eating disorder or just a mental health struggle. The second lesson is to just learn to open up about your struggles. And I know that's easier said than done. Being vulnerable and opening up about something so scary and uncomfortable is not an easy thing, for sure. And it wasn't something I did just easily right away. It definitely took time, and it takes time, one, for you to go through the actions of trying to understand what's going on in your own brain first. At least that's how it happened for me. I didn't really know what was going on. I was in denial of my eating disorder for a very long time. And then finally, when I decided to recover and I acknowledged and accepted that I wasn't in a good spot and I wanted to get better and I wanted to heal and I wanted to recover, I didn't quite know what was going on at that time still. I knew that something was wrong and I wasn't healthy and I wasn't doing well, and this wasn't a path that was going to take me to living the life that I wanted to live. But at the same time, I had no idea how to go about recovering. I had no idea who to talk to or what to do or the actions to take. And any recovery mental health journey, a lot of the times, is like that. There's no concrete pathway. There's no exact formula to follow. And you go from point A to point B, and then you're healed and you're recovered and nothing's wrong again. That's just not how life works. That's not how mental health works. And so regarding friendships, it took me a long time for me to open up about my recovery and me deciding to recover and deciding to embark on this journey of gaining weight and healing my relationship with food, healing my relationship with my body. And so it maybe took me personally a few months after I really decided to recover. I remember there was definitely a while where I wasn't really communicating to anyone what was going on. And I was just really trying to figure it out myself. I was working with a therapist who I'm so grateful for. And I think for me, like, circumstances wise, I started recovery right after like the peak of COVID and quarantine. So things weren't really open anyway. I wasn't really seeing a lot of people. So while that time was such a negative time for me, and that my eating disorder developed and spiraled into what it was and in the severeness of it, it was also a time for me, once I decided to recover, I could really focus on myself. And I wasn't dealt with a lot of social pressures and social interactions that I had to deal with. But definitely as it went into more of the summer of 2021, as things started to open up, I really started to feel that pressure to interact with friends who I hadn't seen since pre-COVID and meet new people at college and get back integrated in with the college campus. But I was such a different person. I had changed so much from 2019 to 2021. I had taken a 180, and my personality was different. My beliefs were different. My mindsets were different. I was working on things and thinking about things I had never, ever thought before. And so it was kind of a weird time in that I had made some friends like freshman year of college in 2019 for me, trying to see them again in 2021 when I had gone through so much personal growth and personal change. It really wasn't the same. That first interaction, I remember feeling so incredibly uncomfortable and awkward, and I looked visibly different as well, just because of my eating disorder. And I knew it felt off, and that wasn't something I was totally surprised about, because I wasn't the same person, and there had been a year and a bit of time since we'd last seen each other. But at that time, I knew that if these people were to remain being my friends, they need to know this part of my life that has happened, and they need to know the things I've struggled with, because those are parts of me now. And I was working so hard on acknowledging and leaning into recovery and really embracing it and prioritizing it for myself. So I sat with myself and I was like, if these are friends I'm meant to still have, they need to be a part of this journey with me, because this is a part of who I am now. And I want my friends to know and be informed so that they can support me and help me in any way, just like I would want to do for them. But then I realized the hard part was coming, and I would have to actually speak to them and talk to them about it. And I remember some of the first times I opened up to some college friends about my recovery. It was so nerve-wracking, and I felt like, I can't even explain how I felt. I just was so overwhelmed, but excited to like share this part of my life and my journey, and just get this thing out of my head that had been weighing me down. And I remember the first couple times I opened up to someone, and it actually turned out that they too were struggling. And me opening up and me being vulnerable, sharing my experience and how I had been struggling with a restrictive eating disorder and how I'm working to heal myself, they too were like, wow, I've been struggling with food as well. That thank you for sharing. I feel like safe to talk about this with you now. And that came with its pros and cons for sure, mostly good things because it was able to strengthen the relationship. I was able to build such a deeper connection with that person because we now had this mutual understanding of where we are and what we're dealing with. Negatively, it did bring up some triggering moments. I think if we were at different places in recovery or we had dealt with different types of eating disorders, some comments were a little bit triggering to me, and that was just something I had to work through by myself and with my therapist. Or if I had gotten to a level of comfortability and felt supported by a friend, I would vocalize that too and be like, hey, that type of comment is really triggering for me right now. Do you mind if we just stay away from that topic? And if we had already established that kind of supportive, safe space to talk about recovery and eating disorders, they were so understanding and it wasn't an issue. So I would say that type of experience was like 80, 85, even 90% of my experiences when I opened up about my recovery to my friends. The other 10, 15-ish% were friends that I had made maybe earlier on in college when I was very consumed by diet culture and very obsessed with my body and with food and just the before stages of kind of the worst of my eating disorder. And looking back now, like a lot of those friends I made, they knew me as that version of Jenny. And I think when I opened up about my recovery, they were too very, very supportive. But because we hadn't had like years of friendship together and they knew me kind of before I got consumed by diet culture, or they didn't also have that shared struggled experience with an eating disorder, the friendship just kind of faded. Those were really, really uncomfortable for me to deal with because I felt a lot of guilt in thinking that I was the person who drove the friendship into the ground and made it disappear because I changed and I opened up about this thing and now we don't really connect in the same way. So for a while, that was really, really difficult for me to be okay with and let these friendships kind of fade away. But now I'm just able to realize that opening up and being vulnerable and sharing my recovery story and my healing journey is what has enabled me to find my true friends. And if our friendship wasn't meant to sustain me opening up and being vulnerable and sharing my struggles, then maybe they weren't a friendship that was supposed to last. While they are wonderful people about these friendships that I'm speaking about that have faded, they are wonderful people. And whenever we run into each other, it's all love and I just love catching up. But I think just at the time of my life and the time of their life that we met and then the circumstances of me going into recovery and figuring out and changing so much, it just, that friendship wasn't meant to be. And that's something, like I've said, I've grown to accept and grown to understand is a normal part of life, whether you're sharing a recovery journey, whether you're sharing a family struggle, whether you're sharing a loss or you're going through grief. Certain friendships that maybe you had prior to that experience may not last through that experience. And while that can be really, really difficult, and like I said, I noticed myself judging myself or trying to blame myself for the friendship disappearing, it's not your fault. It's not your fault at all. You are not doing anything wrong ever by opening up to a friend about what you're going through and how you're feeling and any certain challenges that you're facing. If that friendship fades because of it, that's a telltale sign that maybe it wasn't meant to be. And so that's just kind of a very long-winded answer to my second tip. But basically, open up, be vulnerable with people, and it will show the true colors of your friendships. And sure, it may lead to the friendship fading, but I feel like personally, I've learned that if it fades, it's meant to fade. And that means that you're then having more space and more energy to open up to different people and maybe strengthen other relationships that you may not have thought of would be so strong. But because you've let that other friendship go and you've let it fade away, you can now pour into this new one that you weren't expecting to be so good. I've been on a self-discovery journey the past few years, learning more about myself, my mental and physical health, but more recently, I've been learning more about my hormone health. As a woman, it's so common to feel overwhelmed by our hormones and hormonal changes. Believe me, I say this from personal experience. I've been experiencing some uncomfortable symptoms lately that have prompted me to really start learning and understanding the complexity of my hormones. Everybody has a unique experience when it comes to their hormone changes, so there is never a simple answer to managing it all. On top of that, I've learned that there are so many hormone disruptors in our environments that are completely out of our control. For example, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and our skincare, so it can feel really overwhelming when we feel changes occur and don't know why. I'm so grateful that there's been more research done to help women better understand their hormones and in turn feel much more empowered in their bodies, like Happy Mammoth's Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body adapt to the stress that comes along with the chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time now, you can get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using the code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD for 15% off today. So this kind of leads on into my third tip or my third lesson that I've learned about friendships is that situational friendships are very, very real. And I think looking back, the friendships that I've mentioned that have faded away that I made earlier on in college, I would say those are pretty situational friendships. And I feel like I used to put a lot of weight on building friendships, and it would just be such a big deal when we suddenly didn't see each other, or I would wonder what happened if we stopped texting and we stopped talking so much. But I've come to realize that situational friendships are normal. They're a part of life, especially in school. In college, like, you make a friend in class and you're really close. Maybe you're hanging out multiple times a week doing homework together for that class, and then the semester changes, you change classes, and you don't really see them again. I remember I had a few friends like that, and at the end of the semester, or maybe we go on summer vacation and we just stop communicating, I would feel really guilty and feel really bad and think like, oh, do I need to follow up? Like, why aren't they following up? Are we not friends anymore? And I just would put myself through so much stress and turmoil over not connecting and not maintaining the friendship with this person. But maybe they're just a situational friend, and they were someone to support you through that class. They were someone to support you through a study abroad or a certain job. And then when you move on, they move on. And it doesn't mean anyone did anything wrong. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't mean you're a bad friend. It just means that maybe that friendship served a purpose. And once it fulfilled that purpose, it just faded away peacefully. Once I started thinking that certain friendships can serve you for parts of your life, just like certain activities or certain cities or certain relationships can serve you for a part of your life, and then they don't serve you once that part of your life has gone and passed. Just thinking about friendships in the same way has really, really helped me and helped me take away any of the guilt or the judgment on myself for letting the friendship go or not following up enough or not being the best friend I could, because maybe it just wasn't meant to be. And it's a situational friendship. It served its purpose for that time, and then it's okay that it moves on. And just getting to a place of acceptance, kind of like the first point, that you're not gonna please everyone. You're also not meant to be friends with everyone. Yeah, sure, someone can like you and you can vibe and you can get along really, really well, but it doesn't mean you're meant to be friends for life and every single part of your life. Maybe they move on, they move to a different city, they move out of the country, they move schools, or you just move classes. It's like, that's okay that you don't stay friends. It's not something you need to judge yourself for, and it's not something you need to like force that remains. I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but I feel like personally with situational friendships, the times that they go from a situational friendship to a true, real, long-term friendship, it shouldn't be hard. It should be easy. It should be seamless. Those are a lot of my friends now. Like, I made some friends in classes freshman year, and if we still talk now, That's because it was easy and it was seamless. And mutually, we both wanted to maintain the friendship. Mutually, we put in energy and time into the friendship. And both sides supported, heard each other, valued each other. And so therefore, it grew into a more long-term friendship when it started as a situational friendship. And so if a situational friendship fades, just let it fade. If it feels like a chore and a lot of energy to maintain a certain friendship, then it's probably not meant to be. And letting it go and accepting to let it go is the best thing you can do for yourself. So I feel like all these tips kind of fade into one another. But moving on to my fourth tip and kind of fourth lesson I've learned about friendships is that one-sided friendships are not worth it, in my opinion. And this is kind of going straight off of the point I just mentioned, in that if you feel like you're pouring all the energy and all your time into a friendship and you're not getting any of that back, maybe you're the person who's making all the plans. Maybe you're the person who's texting them first. Maybe you're the person who's the one following up. Maybe you're the one just trying to keep in contact and they're not, then that can only happen for so long. And if it's fulfilling you to see that person and communicate with them in that way, sure. But in my experience, that has a time limit. I've had friendships where, yeah, I've been the one pouring more energy into it. Maybe they're going through a rough time and I'm the one reaching out. I'm the one texting. But eventually, if that persists for so long, and in my experience, when it has persisted for so long, I eventually get to a place where I'm frustrated and I'm questioning myself and judging myself, like, why don't they want to reach out? Why don't they want to see me more? Why don't they text me more? And those situations have just made me realize that one-sided friendships are not worth it. Sure, they can serve for a short period of time, but no long-term friendship, no real, true, rich friendship is going to be one-sided. True friendships are when two people mutually want to see each other, they have the same energy for each other, the same value, same respect, same support for each other, and maybe you don't text for months and you don't see each other for so, so long. But when you do, the energy is exactly the same. And I've had some one-sided friendships and it just was so apparent when we maybe didn't talk for a while, or I was the only one texting them for the last few months and then we do see each other and it just feels so off and unbalanced. I realized, okay, I need to just let this go. And yeah, those moments have been very, very difficult, but I'm so grateful that I've learned through these lessons I've been talking about in this episode today that letting go of these friendships has just enabled me to have more space and energy and time to grow and strengthen true friendships. So that's what I hope you take from this episode, is that if you feel like a friendship's one-sided, if you feel like you're not feeling heard or supported for your struggles when you're being vulnerable, if you feel like they don't like you and you're trying to please them, it's not worth your time. There is someone out there who will be worth your time. And if it's not that person, sure, it's hard to let go and accept sometimes, but learning that has been so freeing. So then moving on to my fifth and final tip for this episode and kind of the overarching lesson I just mentioned, but personally, in my experience, my true friends and my true friendships that I've made in the last 23 years of my life are those friendships where you don't have to talk for months. Maybe you don't talk for 6 months. Maybe you don't talk for a year. But then when you do meet up, or you do happen to be in the same city, or one of you is traveling and you notice that they are there at the same time, or you just message each other after months to catch up on FaceTime and do a video chat. And when you do, it's all love. It's mutually exciting to see each other. It's mutually exciting to catch up. And you equally want to hear about their life as much as you want to share about yours. I feel like those are true friendships. And those are the kind of friendships that I like to have. And I've personally created. And a lot of my friendships now are like that. Not a lot of them, basically all of them are. I personally don't think I work well with friendships that need constant attention and need constant upkeeping, I guess you could say, because I know that I need my alone time. And I think a lot of people in recovery going through a healing journey may be able to relate, but you need alone time. You need time to recharge your battery. And personally, my social battery drains very, very quickly. So I like to make sure that my friends are aware of that, but they're also similar type of people and that they get it. And they know when I'm not texting them, when I'm not reaching out, when I need to say no, it's not because I don't like them. And it's because I don't want to maintain the friendship. It's just because that's what I need for myself. And I equally respect the same thing if they need to do that for themselves. So the friendships where there's just a mutual desire to see each other, but also a mutual respect and understanding that you don't need to see each other all the time, I think those friendships are golden. And I feel like going through recovery and learning all these things I've talked about today, opening up, accepting what I can't change, accepting the people I can't control, and not trying to please everyone, those are all the things that have gotten me to this point. And sure, I'm still learning and building new friendships, and there's bumps along the road for sure, but it's wonderful to be in a place where I feel so confident in my friendships, and I feel like I know who my friends are, I know what we can get from the friendship, and I know where I stand. And that's not something I've always been able to do my entire life, but through these tips and these lessons, I've been able to get here. And so I hope you find them helpful, and I hope you can maybe implement some of them if you're struggling to find friendships, or maybe you're in your own healing or recovery journey and struggling to navigate friendships, or even if you're just in your 20s and just trying to navigate life, trying to build a career, trying to move new cities, or living at home and you're struggling with friendships, you're not alone for sure. And I guess there are some positives to the world of social media, and that you can connect and feel connected to a lot of people, even if you're not presently physically near them. But I will say that majority of my friendships come from real conversations, not just texts, not just DMs, FaceTime calls, phone calls, meeting up in person, doing things together, experiencing the world together, doing something new that both of you have neither done before. Those are where I feel like I build strength in relationships and build strength in friendships. So any chance you get to do that, that's what I highly recommend. But again, I do have so many friends through social media, and I'm so grateful for Instagram for introducing me and enabling me to see and meet so many new people. So it's totally okay to have a mixture of both, a mixture of online friends, people you connect with, people you have mutual interests with online, but also having the real in-person connections is so, so important. So that's kind of what I've learned in the last 23 years of my life, and over the last 3 and a bit years of going through my recovery. I hope you find this helpful. If you do, feel free to send this episode to another person who you think maybe will find some value from it. Leave a little rating and review if you feel called to. That would just help support me, help support the podcast. And you can also follow my Instagram at jenny.mini, the podcast Instagram at perfectlyimperfect.pod. And I'll catch you in the next episode. Thank you so much.